This morning on Wake Up with Hope, Dr. Nerida McKibben is here with us to share health news with us. We will also have a moving devotional from Pastor Mark Finley.
Plus, Tosh Pachlav takes us on a personal journey as we talk about discovering the strength to love.
Stay with us. Good morning, friends, and happy Friday. We have been so thankful to be able to spend our mornings with you this week.
And as we end the week together, we're celebrating National Kids Take Over the Kitchen Day.
Yes.
It's a special day for children and adolescents to participate in cooking alongside their parents or guardians.
So break out your favorite recipe book or website, gather your kids, and plan a meal together. Then start the fun as you cook and laugh together. Now it's time for a segment we'd like to call This Day in History.
On this day in history, in 2004, Oprah Winfrey gave away 276 brand new Pontiac G6 sedans worth $28,500 each to her studio audience. Announcing the surprise with excitement, Oprah's declaration of "Everybody gets a car" led to an ecstatic reaction from the crowd, including crying, screaming, and fainting. This giveaway is considered one of the greatest promotional stunts in TV history. In actuality, Pontiac had donated the cars as part of a promotional strategy, covering the cost from its advertising budget and paying the state sales tax. However, winners face significant expenses due to federal and state income taxes, totaling around $6,000 for most. Some financed the taxes with loans, while others traded their new Pontiacs for cheaper cars. As one winner put it, "It's not really a free car. It's more like a 75% off car."
You know, friends, while getting a car for 75% off the sales tag is a great deal, there is an even better deal awaiting each one of us. And that is, we get to trade this world with all of its cares and burdens for a better world yet to come, heaven. You know, the best part of it is that there are no strings attached. Jesus has already paid the price in full.
Mm-hmm.
And all we have to do is accept it. That's all we need to do.
I love that. No strings attached. Well, today, Dr. Nerida McKibben from our friends over at Go Healthy for Good is joining us for yet another insightful segment of Health News.
In the headlines today, anti-COVID diet, lupus halved by a healthy lifestyle, and Muslims more likely to attempt suicide. The risk of catching COVID-19 appears to be mitigated by a healthy plant-based diet. Over 590,000 participants took part in a phone-based study that was published by the British Medical Journal. Almost 32,000 COVID cases were documented amongst the participants. Those eating a healthy diet were less likely to get COVID-19, and if they did, they had fewer symptoms than those on a low-quality diet. Further, the study found a healthy plant-based diet was associated with better overall health, greater immunity and resilience of the body when faced with infectious diseases in general. So make healthy, immune-enhancing choices with every bite you take. And those same healthy choices will apparently lower our risk of developing lupus, according to a new study involving over 185,000 women, among whom were 203 cases of lupus. In a multivariate analysis, a high correlation was found between a higher healthy lifestyle index and a lower risk of getting lupus or SLE. Lupus is a serious inflammatory disease that causes the body's immune system to attack itself. Characteristics of a healthier lifestyle included a healthy diet, regular exercise, and little to no use of harmful substances like cigarettes, alcohol, and narcotics. The results indicate the risk of developing lupus might be reduced by nearly 50% with adherence to a healthy lifestyle. Muslim researchers at Stanford University found that US Muslim adults are twice as likely to report a prior suicide attempt compared with respondents from other faiths, including atheists and agnostics. Their study found that 8% of Muslims reported a suicide attempt in their lifetime, compared with 6% of Catholics, 5% of Protestants, and just 3.6% of Jews. Muslim suicide attempts are higher in the US than they are in Muslim-majority communities. In the US, Muslims are in a religious minority and are vulnerable to discrimination, while accessing mental health services more infrequently than other groups. It's possible they feel pressure to avoid contact with the healthcare sector, along with cultural taboos that prevent them from seeking mental health care. However, no matter your religion, if you are having suicidal thoughts, please contact the Suicide Prevention Hotline where you live. I'm Dr. Nerida McKibben, and that's today's health news.
Are you enjoying today's program? Share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And search for us on YouTube to check out our YouTube channel and keep up with us there.
When we return, Taj Pahlgub will guide us through the Finding the Strength to Love as he takes us on a personal journey of finding beauty in ashes. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You know, we hope you're blessed by our program today.
This morning, Taj Pahlgub shares a personal journey of finding beauty in ashes on today's Reflection of Hope episode.
Perhaps one of the hardest commands ever imposed upon mortal man is the injunction of Christ, who said, "Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Now, this doesn't come natural to the sinful heart. Naturally, our hearts are bent towards self-love and self-preservation. Naturally, hatred and vengeance is our first reaction to those who mistreat us and those who seek to do us harm. Love and forgiveness is usually not our first response. So how can we live up to this high standard of unconditional love that is set before us? Where exactly do we find the strength to love like this? And where is its source? It was about 8 months ago when I first met our new neighbor, Jonathan. He's a homeless man with major mental issues that decided to squat in this abandoned house next to ours. My first encounter with him happened at 2 o'clock in the morning. My grandma woke me up to inform me that some crazy guy had smashed the back of my car windshield. He wasn't trying to steal, he only wanted to destroy. The cops came to arrest him and took him to the mental hospital. What a terrible inconvenience. Can you imagine that? Rudely awakened in the middle of the night, then having to spend the next 2 hours cleaning my car of all the shattered glass before I was able to go back to sleep. Then I had to pay $498 out-of-pocket repair because it was just under the $500 insurance deductible, then waiting for hours for the repair, terrible customer service at Hawaii Subaru, and the list goes on. But that's not the end of it. My next encounter with Jonathan happened several months later when he decided to burn down this abandoned house that he was squatting in. Thankfully, the firemen came and put out the fire, and the cops came to arrest him again. But it didn't stop there. About a month ago, Jonathan was successful in burning down this abandoned car on our street. He's been arrested over and over again, but each time he's let go because of his mental instability. Now, you would think that the authorities could do better in keeping our community safe from a known arsonist who has a violent past, especially when there's so many children that live on our street. Somebody dropped the ball big time on this one, but that's another discussion for another time. But here's my struggle, and maybe you can relate. How do I love a neighbor that seeks to harm me? How do I bless someone that seeks to hurt me? Where does this unconditional love come from? And how do I experience it practically in my day-to-day life? The last time I saw Jonathan was just a few days ago, after he was arrested for starting another fire in the early hours of the morning. This time the fire not only burned down the house that he was squatting in, but the flames also spread to our own home, causing hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of damage and a bunch of wasted time. Now, thankfully, we all got out and no one was seriously injured. But now our family has to completely move out of our home. We have to find another place to live for the next 6 to 12 months. And now we have to spend time that we don't have to rebuild our damaged home. To say that this was another terrible inconvenience is a gross understatement. Far more was at stake than our physical possessions. For if we had slept just 5 minutes longer, we could have very well have lost our lives. And worst of all, this tragedy was completely preventable if our leaders and representatives would have done something sooner. So what do we do now? My natural self wants to be filled with anger and frustration, especially when I see the damage it's done to my home and the hurt it's caused to my family. My natural self wants to complain and be upset not only with Jonathan, but with the city, the state, the bank that owns this abandoned home, the hospital officials, all those who seem to do absolutely nothing to prevent his dangerous actions. But then I think of the words of Jesus. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Here is the command of Christ. But the next part is the promise of power to fulfill the command. Because Jesus continued to say, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends his rain on the just and the unjust. You see, beloved, the power to love your neighbor as well as your enemy is found in remembering that this is exactly how God has treated us. He sends his sunshine and his rain both on the righteous and the wicked. He loves all of us the same, for his love is unconditional and his love is infinite. And friends, we can only love others because Jesus has first loved us. I begin to realize that what Jonathan has done to us, I have done the same to Jesus. By my foolish choices and actions, I have caused God so much pain. For it was my sins that nailed him to the cross. It was my foolishness that brought him agonizing pain and embarrassing shame. I was the cause of his suffering. I was the cause of his pain. And yet this same Christ was still able to look upon me with eyes of infinite love. While I was yet living in my disobedience, crucifying him afresh by my sins, he was able to look upon me in compassion and pity. Even when I held the hammer in my hands, getting ready to nail him to the cross, Jesus looked upon me in love and he prayed for me. He said, Father, forgive him. He doesn't know what he's doing. And by the power of his love, Jesus extended mercy to me. He loved me even when I hated him. He gave to me not what I deserved, which was death. He gave me that which I needed, which was amazing grace, marvelous mercy, and eternal life. Thank you, Lord. When I think about what my Lord has done for me, how can I do anything less for others? How can I withhold forgiveness from someone who's wronged me when Jesus has forgiven me so freely, and yet I've done far worse to him? As I swept up the broken glass on the ground months ago, and as I sweep up the charred wood and the toxic ashes of my home today, God is also sweeping up the anger and frustration from my heart. By focusing on the cross, I'm finding supernatural strength and power to love. And what a precious lesson God has been teaching me. But it's the same lesson he's teaching all of us today. My friend, is there someone that needs your forgiveness? Someone that hurt you, that needs your grace? What God has done for you, you can do for others. Just open your heart and let God pour out his love in you and through you. Allow him to make you a channel of healing love to someone today. And remember that when your life is shattered like glass and your hopes are reduced to ash, God is always there to clean up the mess and to remove all the stress. Now, we may not be able to trust presidents and politicians and the police and even pastors to fix our problems, but there is a God that we can trust to keep us strong in the most trying and difficult hour. And so never forget that heaven's blessings will always outweigh life's difficulties. Because no matter how hard or hot it gets, we are blessed more than we deserve. And we're surely blessed more than we realize. So when you're tempted to be discouraged and complain about your situation, first count your blessings and recognize that it could be worse. And thank God that there are blessings even in brokenness. And in the weakness of our sinful humanity, never forget that the strength to love the unlovable and the unlovely is found in the God of infinite love.
If you're enjoying our program, share us with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup for more.
We'd love to hear how we have made a difference in your week. So please stop by our official Wake Up With Hope Facebook page and leave us a message.
When we return, we're going to have today's devotional thought from Pastor Mark Findlay. Wake Up With Hope. We'll be right back.
It's now time for our devotional thought. This morning, it will be brought to us by Pastor Mark Findlay.
I love traveling through the Middle East. The Middle East, the lands of Jesus, are some of the favorite places I have traveled. I've tramped around archaeological sites and climbed over rocks and bricks and looked at the ruins of those sites. One of the things about ancient cities that's quite fascinating is they have very few gates. Some might have one gate, some have two gates, but most of them have pretty large towers. They're watchtowers. And the book of Proverbs, when it is written, describes the name of Jesus as a strong tower. We find that in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. It's kind of like a strange title for the name of Jesus, isn't it? Think about the names of Jesus. Can you think about some? Jesus is the Rock of Ages. He's the Pearl of Great Price. He's the Salt of the Earth. He's the Light that lights the darkness. He's the Bread of Life, the Water of Life, the Good Shepherd, and the Lamb of God. Now, each of these names reveals something unique about Jesus. Why is Jesus called the Rock of Ages? Because he is the solid ground beneath our feet. When everything else in your life is shaking, when everything else in your life seems to be falling apart, there is that solid rock beneath your feet. That's why Jesus is called the Rock of Ages. What about this expression, the Pearl of Great Price? Often we confuse our value systems, but there's nothing as precious as Jesus. He's the Pearl of Great Price. Why the Salt of the Earth? If you add salt, it flavors something. It flavors all of life. And so Jesus is the Salt of the Earth. He's the Light of the World. He illuminates our darkness. When things in our life seem dark, but we trust Jesus, John 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the Light of the World. Why is he the Bread of Life? He's the Bread of Life because he nourishes our souls. He's the Bread of Life because he truly satisfies within. Why is he the Water of Life? Because when we have that thirst for eternity, he satisfies it. He's the Good Shepherd because he guides us, and the Lamb of God sacrificed for us. But what about the strong tower imagery? In ancient times, people lived in walled cities. They had these large guard towers. The tower represented a lookout, a place of safety. Now, in these ancient times, the fields were outside of the city, so the farmers went out to the fields to work during the day. Now, let's suppose an enemy army is approaching. The guards up there in the watchtowers signal the people watching, working in the fields. And the people working in the fields flee back to the security of the city and its towers. Why is Jesus our strong tower? Jesus is our strong tower because we can flee to him. Jesus is our strong tower because he is our security. Every day as we go out to our work, every day as we take the responsibility of the day, every day as we work in secular employments, we're out there. And the devil attacks us in a variety of ways, just like the enemy would attack these ancient Israelites. And Jesus invites us to come to him. He is that strong tower of protection. Just like the Israelites could flee within the city and be within its walls. What does Jesus say to us, to you, to me? Matthew, the 11th chapter. Jesus gives us this divine invitation. Matthew chapter 11. We're going to look there at verses 28 through 30. Jesus puts it this way. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." Jesus invites us to come to him. And we can find in Christ that security. We can find in Christ that safety. We can find in Christ that one which we can hide. You know, I love that old hymn, "Rock of Ages cleft for me, let me hide myself where in thee." The story is that the author of that hymn was walking home one night there in England. The clouds became dark. The thunder began to crash. The lightning began to flash. The waters poured down in this tremendous torrent. And there, Mr. Toppledy wondered, "What can I do? Can I ever get home safely?" And as he was coming along this pathway, he saw a cleft in the rock. And there, as his strong tower, he entered into that rock, that cleft in the rock, protected from the elements, protected from the rain, from the storm. And then he went home that day and he wrote, "Rock of Ages cleft for me." The strong towers made out of solid rock in the ancient times were a symbol of protection, a symbol of safety, a symbol of security, a symbol of everything Christ wants you to be to you, everything that he longs for you to have in him. Tempted by the devil, he is our security. Battered by discouragement and depression, he is our security. In sickness, when cancer racks the body, when we are afflicted with some strange disease, he is our security. He's our strong tower. He's our safety. When personal relationships are shattered and our marriage is fragmented and there's tension, Jesus is our security. Jesus is our safety. What did our passage in the book of Proverbs say so eloquently? It says that Christ is our strong tower. The name of Jesus is our strong tower. To him we can run and be safe. And so just now he's reaching out to you. Will you flee to that strong tower? Will you find your refuge and security in him this morning? In our program, Wake Up with Hope, will you enter your day filled with hope because you've come to the strong tower? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you with all of our hearts that you are our strong tower. You are the one who provides security and safety. You're the one who provides hope and encouragement. So we come to you today as we start our day claiming that the name of our Lord is a strong tower. Until next time, I look forward to seeing you for another proverb for daily living that provides joy and happiness.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Mark.
And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. If you'd like to learn more about our program, rewatch a segment during the weekend, or share us with a friend, visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And we look forward to starting the week together, so don't forget to join us on Monday morning. Voice of Prophecy will be sharing a devotional thought, and we'll have so much more in store. Don't forget to start your week right here with us.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, friends, that's hope.study. We are sure our free Bible studies will be such a blessing to you, as they have been to many others.
And of course, we can't leave without sharing a Bible promise for today. And today's promise says,
dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love.
What a beautiful promise. God is love. Everything he does is from love. What a precious promise.
Amen. Friends, we pray that you take this truth with you and hang on to it throughout your weekend and every day. God wants to do incredible things in your life as he changes you to love as he does.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, yes, Lord, we confess. We do acknowledge that you are love. That's why we receive you. We want to receive the fullness of your presence so we can have that love in our hearts, so we can love those around us. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.